Oh, what a special night for us to be with you. We sure appreciate Pastor Daryl allowing us to come and to be able to have this time. If we really all are honest with God, we would recognize each and every one of us are defined by grace, aren't we? That it is only by the grace of Almighty God that one is saved through faith, the Word tells us. And as we think about that, even tonight, and even as we're looking at that video, my name's Jerry Brown. I'm Daniel's dad and Nubia's father-in-law. My wife, Peggy, and Nubia shared so richly that it's hard to follow them coming up to be able to speak on behalf of the Lord and His grace. But I'm going to give it a try because I believe that not only are we to be the recipients of His grace, but that you and I, in recognizing who we are and how we're defined by that grace, that we need to be distributors of that grace. And I think that sometimes in the church, we're quick to want to be able to receive from, but we are slow to want to give. And when we find others that are engaged in sinful activity, even as Peggy's already ratted me out, right? And you know the history of our drug abuse and life before Christ. We're not so quick to be able to want to reach out to help others that find themselves in the deception of sin. And so let me just help transfer, if you will, or give a time now to be able to move from being the recipient of God's grace to being those that are distributors of it. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of James? I have a few moments with you in the book of James this evening. It is one of those books that is the most practical of the New Testament. Many call it the Proverbs of the New Testament. James, in his word, gives us such clarity on being those that apply the word. In fact, one of my favorite verses is James chapter 1 and verse 22, where the word says simply that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, lest we deceive ourselves. And I love that the word calls for us to recognize that we're not deceiving anyone else, but we simply deceive ourselves if we're not being those that apply God's word into our lives. James, as you continue through James, it's so practical, and James tells us faith without works is dead. He goes on to be able to show us that we're to be those that are active. I think about Jesus and him discipling the apostles, and what did he disciple them for? But that they would go out and they would share the grace of Almighty God with those that they came in contact with, those that the Lord would allow to come under their circumference, and that's even why we have them called apostles, sent out ones to be able to share the message that God had so clearly shared with them and allowing them to recognize that they were then defined by the righteousness of God, even as Nubia said, that he makes sure that we understand he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And what a blessing it is to be able to see those apostles go out and to be able to minister as they did, as recorded for us in the scripture. James, as we look through his book, continually telling us of the practical ways that we're to tame the tongue, we're to call out to God to be able to do it, because man cannot do it himself. The Lord makes it very clear in the book of James that it's all about him that is doing the work, and not mankind. But I want to take you to chapter 5, because when we work our way all the way through the book of James, there's a passage of scripture here that is so important, I believe. It's worth looking at and drawing some attention to tonight. It's chapter 5. It's the last two verses. It's almost as if James gets through this whole letter of being practical and being practical and being practical. And before he closes the letter, he says, oh yeah, one more thing that I must write, as the Holy Spirit gives him insight to write. And he says these words in verse 19 and 20. brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that the only way that one can know real joy in life is when they fulfill the calling that God has on their life. When one fulfills the calling that God has on their life, they experience the abundant life that Christ came to die for us to experience. And I love that the Lord called me to the ministry of U-Turn for Christ. It has been a blessing for Peggy and I to have founded the ministry and to watch the Lord move as he has throughout the world now, having U-Turn for Christ established with men like you saw on the screen. That was Pastor Aaron Weinmiller. He's now been a pastor with us for over 20 years. As the Lord, by his grace, as Aaron and his wife recognized and spoke it out very clearly, by his grace. And did you love the part that we see Rosie saying? You know, I was mad at God because I was in this situation until I realized that my pride was just as ugly as his addiction. And then I realized that God, only by his grace, would allow for me to be saved from my pride as well. Many times we speak to people about the sin and the sin nature of mankind, and people think about the worst and darkest evil kinds of sins that we can imagine, and then forget how ugly the pride of the Pharisees and the scribes were before the Lord Jesus, even for him calling them hypocrites throughout the scripture. I love the word once again. I want to take you back here as we look, because many people have asked me, Pastor Jerry, why is it that you continue to pastor U-Turn for Christ as if the restoration ministry was some ministry to graduate from? I also have the privilege of pastoring Calvary Chapel Romoland, but I tell you this evening that Calvary Chapel Romoland grew out of the ministry of U-Turn for Christ as men and women came and were saved and were born again and radically changed their lives. They wanted to stay and learn and be discipled. And it became a ministry that grew with 150 to 200 and then 300 people that were going from one, one church to another with us before Pastor Chuck said, Pastor Jerry, it's time for you to start a church with that ministry and to call it Calvary Chapel. And so we had the privilege of being able to do just that. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I think it is all because the Lord had called me and given Peggy and I this one thought. How is it that we could have so much influence and damage with all the drugs and the lifestyle that we were engaged in with people around, even causing some to die? How is it that we could have that kind of influence, get saved, and have our lives radically transformed by the grace of God and not want to share it with those that we had led on the path of the devil? And so we were called early on in our walk with the Lord to find a way to be able to change and help people change from the manner that we were. We didn't have the opportunity to be able to have a ministry like U-Turn for Christ around us. And so, as Peggy told you, through prayer and through the Word, the Lord allowed for us to be able to be set free by His grace from the bondage that we were in. And so we started to think about how it would be to open a facility to help those that were under the influence of drugs and alcohol, even as we were, and the bondage of drugs and alcohol, even as we were. And we started to minister to people, and a facility became available, and we were able to purchase it and start a home for those that were involved, and then a ranch ministry for those that were involved. Today we have about 55 guys on a regular basis at the men's ranch, and about 20 women are thereabouts in the women's ranch on a regular basis. Interesting, as we are working our way through that kind of time and the Lord showing us by His grace that we need to be those that were distributors of His grace. We were saved by His grace, and we needed to help others recognize that it would be by His grace that they would be saved as well. So take a look back at this passage, and let me look with you at a couple thoughts here. Just a few words, key words that are in it. Brethren, he starts out. And may I just say this evening that we need to be those that are careful to recognize, you and I, that God has called us. And sistren, remember, this includes you as well. It is not just brethren, but brethren meaning mankind, those that are born again, those that are part of the family of God. He calls us to be the ones that are going to go and to be the ones that distribute the grace that God has shared with us. Incredible passage as we look at this from the perspective of the Lord. He says that they were wandering. If anyone among you wanders, the word says. And can you imagine what it's like to be one who has wandered? Wandering. It's one of those facts that we need to be able to realize in the church, some that have just taken a detour, that have left what they had learned even as youngsters, many in the church today. We have a horrific problem in the church today from youth that have been raised in the Lord. We raise them in the Lord all the days of their high school, junior high school, and we send them off to college, and then they come back messed up on drugs and alcohol as they go into that time of Party City. And then we kind of wonder, how did they get to this place? Recognize with me, the Word of God is very clear to say there will be many that wander, but you have to decide, I have to decide, that we're going to be those that go after the wanderers. And that's the message that I want to bring to you this evening as we think about going after the wanderers. The Lord is pleading with us to be those that care enough. One of the ones that taught earlier spoke about leaving the 99 to go after the one. Let me remind you of Matthew 18 and verse 12, and it says this. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one goes astray, does he not leave the 99, go into the mountain and to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that not one of these little ones should perish? It is the call for those that are in the church to be those that recognize the responsibility that God's given us as those that understand the grace of Almighty God and appreciate the grace of Almighty God, that we would go after those that wander. I want to say that because too many times I've heard this, you've probably heard it, you might have even spoken it out of your mouth. When you've heard of someone that has gone astray, when someone has wandered, when someone has gotten caught up in the deception of the enemy, you might have said something to this effect, oh, they made that choice, let them get what they deserve. Let them get what they deserve, instead of being one that has the compassionate heart of the Lord, one that is filled with the grace of Almighty God to be able to say, let me go after them. Let me find a way to be able to reach them. Let me do whatever it is that I have to do to collect some, those that are around them that they love, that they know are going to be able to speak into their lives, and the one that has wandered will listen because of the love that has been shared with them. And let me be one that restores the wanderer from his ways. I believe that it's very important as we look at this word, and the word says brethren, that he is speaking to the church and saying, are you? Are you really one that is an appreciative one of the grace that has been bestowed upon you, so much so that you're looking out for those that have wandered and you're looking to how it is that you might go after them? Well, let me take you here once again to the word and back to that, really, if you will, focus of this passage, and that is those that wander. Go back to the text for a moment, if you will. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. And if any of you wanders, the word is plaino in the Greek, and it means really a term that was used for astronomy in following the planets. The only problem with following the planets is they move. And so if you followed the planets for this way of charting your path, you were always wandering off of the place that you once had pointed as your destination. And so the word is used there to tell us that there are all kinds of wanderers that are in the world today. Let me give you a few of those. Number one, is unintentional wanderers. That is, these are the ones that never intended to wander. They were just so undisciplined, if you will, in their walk with the Lord. They were so undisciplined in their life that they never gave way to the Lord. And they find themselves in this just drastic situation, so far away from the things that God intended for their life, that they need someone to be able to come and help them to return on a right path. And then we have the intentional wanderers. These are the scary ones. They're a different breed. They're the ones that continue to move, if you will, intentionally away from the things of the Lord. And so as we look at the wanderers and what kind of wanderers we have, this kind is the type that is just rebellious and scary in the way in which that you have to be able to get their attention. And then the third kind that I've written down, ones that were drawn away by false teachers. These are the ones that had itchy ears. And they just allowed for the itchy ear, if you will, the kinds of talks and teachings that would allow them just to kind of do whatever they want, the feel-good message, rather than being those that are committed to the Word, to take them away from the things of the Lord and to allow for them to be able to end up in a distant place that they never intended to go. This is for sure what we know about wanderers. Wandering all starts with one bad step in the wrong direction. A little leaven, the Word of God says, leavens the whole lump. And we need to be those that are recognizing that if we're going to help those to be able to stay the course, to be able to stay on track, to be able to come back, if you will, to the narrow path that the Lord has led, it is that you and I need to be those that go after them. And that we recognize that it is a call for us to call them back to the obedience of the Word of God. So important for us to recognize that it is not our opinion that's going to really change them. Usually you recognize this, don't you, that we all have opinions. But the only opinion that is going to matter in the end is God's opinion. And His opinion is given to us in the Word of God. And here's what He says. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is that you and I are called to bring them back to the Word of God and allow for the Word of God to be able to, by the Holy Spirit, bring them into that right relationship with a holy God. Now go back to this passage again, because it is that they wander, and what it is that they're wandering from. The Word of God tells us they wander from the truth. And James is making sure that as he closes this epistle, that he is speaking about wandering from the truth of God's Word. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, in the life. And so what we can really say as we look at this passage of Scripture is that James is calling people to come back to Jesus, wandering from Jesus, and wandering from, if you will, the truths of the Scripture. He says very clearly that it is the Word of God that is true. Sanctify them by your word, Jesus would write. Your word is truth. Bring them back to the Word of God. and allow for the Word of God to be able to help them understand and right themselves on the path that God has called them to. The counsel that would be sought is the Word of God to bring them into a right relationship once again with the Lord. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so it is that you and I need to constantly bring people that have wandered away from the Lord, or wandered away from the things that were taught early, wandered away from the truth of the Scripture, back to the truth. And I love this about the Word of God. Isaiah says this in 55. He says, "My word goes forth from my mouth, and it shall accomplish all that I sent it to do." Isn't it cool for us to be able to have the Word of God to rely on, to understand that if we simply bring this word before others, that they'll come to the realization. God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will allow them to see the errors of their ways and then to be able to be right with Him. I remember way back over 30 years ago now when I was in that counseling room with Peggy. And I remember being one that was given to smoking pot and telling this pastor, "Hey, listen, you know, I mean, God created it. How can it be bad? What are you talking about?" Used all the stupid excuses that I could use. And the pastor looked at me and he said, "Jerry Brown, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober. Can you be sober and smoke the pot that you're smoking?" I said, "Well, no, that's crazy. If I could, why would I smoke it? I wouldn't smoke it if I could be sober." And he said, "You don't have a problem with your wife. You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God." And when he said that, the Word of God hit me like a ton of bricks. It allowed for me, even as Pastor Aaron said on that screen, to realize that the thing that I'd been fighting against was the man, the God-man, Jesus, and the truth of the Scripture. And him saying that I needed to be sober, to be vigilant, because my adversary, the devil, sought like a roaring lion who he may devour, that he was waiting to tear me apart. And he had. And he explained that to me, and he showed me in the text where the enemy had a field day, tearing not only me apart, but my family apart, and my marriage apart, as Peggy has spoken. And I remember the Word of God cutting like a sharp two-edged sword. And in that time of being delivered the Word of God, my life changed. And I began to give way to His truth rather than to the lie of the enemy. We need to be those that bring people back to the Word of God. I remember being in the darkness. And I thought about this. Years later, Peggy and I took our children back to Kentucky to Mammoth Caves. There's 365 miles of caves in the Mammoth Caves. And we went on a tour and a lady was guiding us. We went back about 45 minutes or so on this tour looking at all the stalagmites and all the things of the cave that were there. And as we were there, the lady said, "You know, everybody get yourself on a flat area. I'm going to turn the lights off in here. I want you to see how dark it is." She turned the lights off, and you couldn't see your hand right in front of your face. She told us, "Put your hand right in front of your face and see if you can see." And we couldn't see even our hand right in front of our face. And the Lord hit me. He hit me with this thought. He hit me with the thought that, listen, as I have received the grace of Almighty God, and He's changed my life and radically changed my life, people came to me. They came to me and shared the truth. And I was in such darkness. I was in darkness like I was in that cave that day. But they came with the light of the Word of God. And in the light of the Word of God being brought to me, Jesus being the light of the world, being put on display before me, allowed me to be able to walk out of the darkness and then to be able to travel down the path that He has for me, and the abundant life that comes with walking down that path. I say that because, once again, too many people are like, you know what? They're in that darkness. They chose to go in that darkness. Let them bump their head until they find their way out. Rather than having the compassion of Christ once again, being those that understand the grace that have been given to us, the amazing grace that you and I have been given, and then being those that distribute that grace to others and go after the wanderer. You know, I think that as we look at this word, we can see that the book of James tells us, I want to make sure that you know the stakes that are set. If you'll be one that's obedient to this word, look at the stakes that are so high. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his way and saves a soul from death. I'll tell you what, one of the reasons I am so blessed to be in the ministry of U-Turn for Christ is I get to see this on a regular basis. Day in and day out, I get to see people come to the Lord, change their life, radically have the light bulb go off in their head, if you will, understand the grace that has been poured. They all know what sinners they are. Nobody has to tell the people that we work with every day that they're a sinner. They know that they're a sinner. They know that they're erring. They know that they're not perfect and they're not walking in the way that the Lord called them to walk. But for them to realize the amazing grace that's being put on display tonight, the amazing grace that allows for you and I to sit here knowing that if we breathe our last breath on this earth, that we're going to be instantly in the presence of the Lord because of what He did for us on the cross. We get to see men and women radically change their life and this come to reality, a soul saved from hell for all of eternity. I believe what James is saying here in a very, if you will, practical way is, will anybody care enough? And he's speaking to the church and he's saying, will anybody care enough about the people that are all around you that are suffering under the deception of the enemy, that have bit into the lie of Satan, now needing someone to be able to come and show them the amazing grace of Almighty God. And church, we just want to say tonight that you have experienced the amazing grace. Will you be one that's a distributor of it? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for this evening. Thank you for this church, Lord, and how you've used it. Many people have come and been able to know and understand the amazing grace that you pour out on those that humble themselves and repent of their sin. And yet, Lord, you want to use us even in a more powerful way as a church and as individuals to be able to speak to those that we know are hurting, that we know have walked away, that have wandered from the truth. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us, that you would allow for us, God, to be able to be bold when you call us to speak, to have discernment to know when and who it is that you're calling us to speak to. And then, Lord, to have the compassionate heart that is ready to be able to share the amazing grace that you've poured out on us, on others. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.